Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this primary runoff day here in Alabama. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program if you so choose. We'll get to your text. I've got a bunch to get to here and over the course of the next few segments. So keep them coming. We do appreciate the feedback. Still to come on the program, well, Jared Hudson here in about a half hour, candidate for United States Senate. So please stay tuned for that. Joining us now, also running for United States Senate, Congressman Barry Moore, my congressman from the 1st Congressional District. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
We are doing good, Jeff. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We do appreciate it. Well, how are you feeling today?
Feeling good. We think we're in a good spot. I think that, you can't ever tell with the turnout. We need people to go and vote, but I think that's the case in any election. You just got to have your people to get out and, you know, have their voice counted. But for what we're in, I think the high propensity voters, we're in a good spot. And those are people that show up four out of four times. So we think we're in a good spot. Jeff's going to run through the tape, but right now we really feel about pretty good about where we're at, good about where our race is. And we think we're going to finish well with a good night.
Where are you at today, right now?
I am in Enterprise. I was actually in North Alabama yesterday and got in last night and going to go vote here in just a little bit.
Gotcha. Well, at least you're not in Washington, D.C. That goes on despite our elections here. Since we got you, talk a little bit about what we've seen, in particular the reconciliation vote, and then in addition to that, what you're hearing on Iran.
Yeah, so the reconciliation vote, we finished this past week, and I think funding DHS through the end of the president's term was a win for us, because he needs, Mark Wayne Mullen just tell you, he needed the resources to finish the work on cleaning up some of the mess from the Biden administration. And so having CBP and border funded through and ICE funded through the end of the president's term, that allows him to finish the mission without having to worry about getting defunded ever so often with a CR. So that was good. We kind of got the approach finished with that process. And then I think with Iran, and if you look at oil prices, I saw where I think it was in the $70 a barrel. We had as high as 109 a few weeks ago. We're starting to see fuel prices come down. So hopefully we can land the plane on that. I've been saying that if we can do that between now and November, that's a good thing. It looks like we've got a deal. Again, you're dealing with a regime that's a little bit radical. Sometimes we don't know, but so far, I think the president, he didn't take a bad deal. He held out. He used force when needed. He used sanctions as needed. And so I think we've done good work there. It's something we've been talking about doing for 47 years. And finally, President Trump stepped up and made sure that Iran will not have a nuke.
We had one of your Senate counterparts, like Katie Britt, on yesterday on the program, a third reconciliation vote for military funding, maybe Save America Act. Are you hearing anything on that?
You know, I haven't. I heard there was some movement on there. A few weeks ago, I heard we wouldn't get a reconciliation 3.0. And then the last week, as we were in D.C., I heard we might be able to get a couple of Republican senators that weren't willing to do reconciliation that said they are now. And so hopefully we could do that. It'd be great if we get Save America Act in there, obviously. So I think it's a third bite of the apple, and reconciliation allows us to do it with a simple majority. So anytime we can do that, especially with the current filibuster issue and the way things have kind of been held up in the Senate, if we get a third bite of the apple, we need to take it and get as much as we can.
Well, we'll be watching that. I've been asking all the candidates this morning. We'll ask you, assuming there's maybe somebody just listening and they don't listen that much, but they're tuned in today. It's an election day, and they're kind of catching up on things. Make a pitch to them why they should choose you if they're undecided.
First thing, they need to get out and vote and then choose the candidate they think best suits their will for the American or for our country. But I think my record, Jeff, if you just look at my record, I've been a conservative. My Liberty score, Turning Point USA, Heritage Action scored me at 100. There were only 11 in the nation that got that score. So we've got a record, and we got relationships with the president. There's a reason President Trump endorsed me. He's seen me in the fight with him. And so he wants a trusted ally in the Senate. He's depending on Alabama to send him one. And so hopefully everybody will vote for Barry Moore for U.S. Senate today, and we'll be able to send the president the man he's asked us to send him.
And then we'll get you out of here on this real quick. But what's election day? What's election night look like for you today?
So we're having an election night party. Got our team coming in. A lot of family and friends will be here, and we'll be at the Rawls Downtown Enterprise, which is my hometown, just near the Boll Weevil Monument. And looking forward to a big night for our family and friends and our supporters.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Congressman, best of luck to you today, and we'll hear from you again, I'm sure, soon.
Yes, thank you, Jeff.
All right, Barry Moore, ladies and gentlemen, joining us there on the line, 251-343-0106. So we kind of make our way. I got one more candidate coming up at the bottom of the hour. Jared Hudson will join us on the phone here, and we'll talk to him about how he's feeling about today's vote. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Unnamed texter writes, would you ask the Secretary of State? I recently saw a campaign ad with him discussing opening Big Creek Lake back up to everyone. Also saw the signature page for the 99-year lease agreement with Maws that essentially kept the lake shut down with his signature at the bottom right-hand corner of the page. Where does he stand? Is this politics as usual? Well, maybe it's this that, and I'm just totally speculating, but those type of agreements require some kind of approval that he doesn't necessarily have a say in the agreement. He just has to sign off on it in the sense that it's legal. I didn't get the opportunity to ask him that. I didn't see your text till now, but maybe that is what happened there. So I don't know. I would read too much into that. I have seen a lot of the politics. I know that Secretary Allen's got the backing of our friend Shane Stringer. They served in the legislature together. Maybe this is a nod for that support. From Fed Up with Text. I like that. The text message barrage for all the candidates is extremely frustrating. Texts are so numerous that they can't possibly resonate a candidate's message. I also don't give a damn who my newly elected county commissioner supports. If I had the stats on the candidates that text the least, those are the candidates who I would vote for. I am over it. Well, good news, it'll end here. They know, and we went through this, who was it? It might have been Carolee Dobson. That the state, when you fill out your voter registration, you have the option to put your phone number on there. Now, it doesn't say it's an option. There's no asterisk by it, but they put it on there. And then essentially most people just put it in there. They put their text, you know, their cell phone number or whatever on there. And the state sells this. They sell these. Maybe it was Andrew Sorrell we were talking about when he was running for Secretary of State. But they sell this data. And they know if you showed up to vote the last few cycles. So what they do is they're able to compile this, create a text list, alpha of it. And they're trying to target you because they know you're going to be out to vote. You may have voted in an election or two in the past. And they look at you. And the same thing is true. They know your address. That's why you get all the mail. That's what happens. So the way you fix that, you just stop collecting cell phone data. The state does it. And then they turn around and sell it to these campaigns, these consultants. And they use it. And they're doing what I would do if I were running one of these campaigns. But what you got to do is you got to eliminate that. You got to eliminate the middleman or the state of Alabama doing that. DI texts are equating someone being themselves as celebrating slavery are not the same. It's the Confederate flag. That's a declarative judgment that the Confederate flag is a celebration of slavery. but it is the same in this sense. A number of people found it objectionable, and we stopped doing it. Is it a celebration of slavery or a celebration of the Confederacy? Squirrel Verine has, let's see. It used to be the Americans envied and admired Israeli methods of national security, but apparently that was just some people. Alabamians brag about weathering and withstanding hurricanes, but use the rain as an excuse not to vote. Well, they don't. Maybe they do, but you never hear them say that. You never hear them say, I didn't go vote today because it's raining. I mean, you just hear different things. Derek, I'm voting for whoever is more Jesus than Jesus. Vote Republican or they'll make your dog gay. We did see a raccoon. We don't do that. You know, you can say what you want, Derek. And I know where you're like I said, the kid that cheated off of my paper during test. But you don't really have the Roy Moore type of campaigns anymore. As society has gotten more and more secular, like that apparently isn't a winning message like it used to be. Name texter just now voted in Belfast, number 90. Leo, Independent Living Center, West Mobile, 120. Just voted in Stockton. This from an unnamed texter, number 77. Buddy writes, Tillman's Corner Community Center was a ghost town when I went to vote. 251-343-0106. So I guess the moral of the story is you don't think your vote counts. It counts more today than it will in any other election. And here's the thing. And there's, you know, it's not you guys who are listening to this show and texting into it. This is where we will decide who will be our next senator, attorney general, lieutenant governor, ad commissioner. Democrats are not in a place in Alabama where they can win statewide, so the general election, it becomes more of a formality. Everything that you vote on really is settled in a Republican primary, be it the primary or in the runoff. That's just a fact of life. Maybe someday Democrats can rally some support, get some numbers, and be competitive, but there's just this, maybe it's the national sort of mentality, the Fox Newsification of our politics. But in Alabama and a lot of other states, one-party states, the election day contest or a formality, you just don't have a lot of support coming out of the for Democrats in the general election. You still have it. The numbers aren't there. So today, a 8-12% turnout is going to determine who your next leaders are for the next 4 years. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Mona tried to tell me to stay away from the train line. She said that all the railroad men just drink up your blood like wine.
Hey, I was country.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for hanging out with us on this primary runoff day. Tomorrow on the show, we'll have Joey Clark, as we do every Wednesday, and we'll do Will Hampson make up appearance, but We pushed him back a day to make room for these candidates, give him one last shot. One last bite at the apple here as we head into what will be tonight. We'll see how the results turn out. Terry, I rue the day I gave any politician or any political group my contact info. Now I get hundreds of emails and texts from everyone and their brother from all over the USA. And here's something, I think you really saw this. This is one thing that the Trump campaign, when everybody is wanting to go to a Trump rally, and they were telling you had to have a ticket. So people would sign up and they would just voluntarily give up all of their data. And the Trump campaign made lists. They sold some of them. And then you got to the event and you didn't really need a ticket. They were just letting anybody in. You just had to wait in line and go through security. But they mastered that art. There's value in that. Unnamed texter, I'm not a big fan of waving a Democrat flag. However, I must say fatigue is real. I'm sick of what's going on. And why I don't blame him for finding something to celebrate in June as Juneteenth. The rest of us celebrate Father's Day. Nick Matringa writes, hello, Jeff. PC rain was very light at 10. I'm ashamed of our civic responsibility. Adam, Barry Moore seems to be landing airplanes while taking bites out of apples. Well, we like metaphors. And then Mike, since my wife always asks me who to vote for, does that make my vote worth even more? It does. Or it makes your opinion. I mean, your vote is your vote, and it's worth the same as everybody else's vote. But your sphere of influence is worth something. Those of you who listen to this show, I'm sure you probably hear, hey, who should I vote for? My peer group, not even aware there's an election today. My church is a polling precinct, and there's people in my church who are not even aware that there's an election today. But, people just have different priorities in life. And you got children you got to take care of, dinner to cook, a job to go to. And if you don't do this for a living like I do, maybe it's just not as important to a lot of people. This is very interesting. I mean, I got back at the Alabama game. It is fascinating to me to look at it from like more of like living history, like right now, capturing the mindsets of people, the psychology of people, the changes. I'm conservative, but you don't need Jeff Poore to tell you to be conservative. And we do this show and operate on a set of assumptions. A worldview, a point of view that's probably not unlike a lot of people who, listen to this program. But when it comes to elections, I mean, people can make up their own minds. They can figure it out for themselves. They're smart people. And you could generally figure it out. Don't always make the right choices. And the other problem is, in this, our system's not perfect, but some people are really, really good at elections. And some people are very, very good at being a public servant. Very good at the ins and outs of government. So I think that is something, that you can't dismiss. I mean, one would suppose, I guess, if you're very good at campaigning, you could do both. 251-343-0106. Jared Hudson coming up next. Stay tuned. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Just full of sinners and believers. Learn that happiness on earth ain't
years I learned, I've come to know. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems. Sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Tuesday morning. It is primary runoff day here in Alabama, and we've heard from all the candidates except for one joining us here now on the line. He's running for United States Senate. Friend of the program, Jared Hudson, is making time for us. Jared, how are you doing?
Man, doing good, brother. How are you doing?
Doing well. Appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate you having me, bro.
Hey, anytime. You've been very helpful to this program over this cycle and even before that. But how you feeling today? Kind of give us a rundown from your neck of the woods.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, God's blessed us tremendously. He's paved an unbelievable road. The fact that I'm even, you know, having this conversation with you at this point in the race is a testament to what God's done, what our team has done, the work they've put in. You know, I'm just a name on a ballot, but this is about the people of Alabama, and this is about, you know, the Lord paving an unbelievable road. So we feel great, and we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully people get out and vote today. I think that's the most important thing is get out and vote. It's the most important thing you can do. Now, I believe I'm the best man for the job, and I would ask for you to vote for Jared Hudson for U.S. Senate. But either way, whoever you're voting for, that is what we're supposed to do in a Democratic Republic. And it's unbelievably important that you get out and vote in this runoff election because it determines our future.
Well, I mean, it's been a heck of a journey for you. And you started out, single digits. And as you said, here you are today. It's a runoff day. And you got a shot at being a United States Senator. But kind of talk about where you are today, what you got going on. What does election day look like for you?
Yeah, so election day for me right now, we, you know, spent some time in the office this morning, a few radio shows, a few shows we had to call in, and then obviously talked to some friends. We got a great team, on the phones with people, making sure we're getting out the vote. But today, we're not going around anywhere. I've spent some time in the Word this morning doing my normal thing, doing the little commentary I do for my daughters. So did that work this morning. I'll probably do a little more this afternoon and just spending time praying and thanking God for the opportunity to be able to do this. I mean, it's been a long, well, over a year now since I announced, but it's come to the end, and we're looking forward to being able to hang out with some people tonight and celebrate a victory, hopefully, and God getting the honor and glory for all of it. So just kind of hanging out with the family and spending the day relaxing because the hay's in the barn, brother. We're just waiting for people to get out and cast their votes.
Yeah, and so here we are. There may be people listening to this program that they listen a few times a year, like when an election comes around, but they're going to vote. Maybe they haven't made up their mind. Make a kind of your closing argument here for why you should be their choice.
Yeah, well, number one, as you know, I'm a born-again believer in the person of Jesus Christ. Number two, I'm a seventh-generation Alabama family man. I got a beautiful wife and three beautiful little girls. And number three, Navy SEAL sniper, current law enforcement officer, and the CEO of a nonprofit that combats human trafficking. Those things define Jared Hudson, but the reason I'm running for the U.S. Senate is because all of those things I just mentioned are impacted. One, it's a call from God. Two, it impacts my family in the future and your family as well. And number three, what I've done as a warfighter, law enforcement officer, or a nonprofit CEO, all of these things can be impacted from the position of U.S. Senator. But one step further, as a U.S. Senator, I'm supposed to represent the people that I'm elected to represent, the people of Alabama, and making sure that we fight for the people of Alabama, fight tooth and nail to deliver on affordability, deliver on security. We see what's happening with Iran right now, the IRGC, and the deals that the president's trying to make, making sure that we put fighters in place to deliver on that, deliver on things like the Save America Act, fight against leadership like Senator Thune, who seems to be doing things that are the antithesis of what our Constitution allows and the antithesis of what we believe as Americans and Alabamians. That is what I want to go do. Go and fight on your behalf in D.C. and bring your issues to Washington and not the issues of Washington to you, the people of Alabama. So I hope to earn your trust and support. I hope that I earn your vote. I would be honored to earn your vote. Vote Jared Hudson for the U.S. Senate today. If you don't know about me, you can check us out at HudsonForAlabama.com and look at all the social medias, like, share, and follow, and get to know a little bit about me before you cast your vote at the polls today.
And real quick, while we got you, I'm going to ask you to put your pundit hat on, but looking at this Iran deal, now, we don't know many of the particulars, but do you feel good about where we are going forward?
Well, I mean, I don't feel good about where we are with anything that deals with the IRGC, but, you know, if we can, again, like the president said from the get-go, limit their ability to obtain a nuclear weapon, that's going to be huge. They've already proven that if they had a nuclear payload, that they could pretty much hit anywhere in Europe with it when they cranked off that ICBM over Diego Garcia. So that is a huge piece of it. A 60-day ceasefire and peace deal is huge. And then opening the straits, that is the most important thing. I actually spent time working in the straits when I was in the SEAL teams. And I can tell you, opening the straits, because it impacts global markets, obviously our oil market affordability being a huge issue in America, but here in Alabama, I think that that's going to be unbelievably helpful. It's going to help our farmers with their input costs. I know fertilizer costs being extremely high. So I think opening the straits is going to be the biggest thing that would be unbelievably beneficial if that's a part of the deal. We'll find out on Friday, from my understanding. Is that correct? Friday seems to be the day that we get that locked down, hopefully.
That's what it sounds like from the administration. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so we can just hope and pray that that they come to the table, we're able to make a deal, limit their ability to get a nuclear weapon, but also open the straits and start impacting global markets so that it does, the affordability piece and the huge driver of inflation that war is, doesn't absolutely continue to crush the American people of Alabama.
Last question, we'll get you out of here on this. Where are you spending election night?
We're going to be at Brock's Gap Brewery in Hoover, so it's right by the Hoover Met. It's a restaurant, brewery, big event space. So y'all come out, see us. I think it's on our social media. They put up a flyer for it. I don't get to always see the different things they put up on social media, but I'm pretty sure it's on there. I believe the event starts at 6 o'clock. It might be 7 o'clock that it starts, but y'all come out and hang out with us tonight. It's going to be a great time watching the results come in, but more importantly, watching the people of Alabama exercise a right that our democratic republic allows us to have, because everybody else in the world doesn't have this. So it's important you get out and vote and then celebrate it with us this evening.
Jared, but thank you for coming on throughout the cycle. Hopefully we'll talk again soon, but best of luck to you today.
Man, thank you so much, Jeff. Likewise. God bless, brother.
All right. Jared Hudson, ladies and gentlemen, candidate for United States Senate. So there you have it. You heard from all six of the top of the ballot. Yesterday we did Ag Commission. There's some other things on the ballot throughout the land. I think there's maybe a school board seat, two House runoffs, and then everything else statewide, PSC, Chip Beaker and Jim Ziegler, and then there are obviously Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, United States Senate, and there you have it, Jared Hudson running for U.S. Senate against Barry Moore. If you haven't cast your ballot, encouraging everybody to get out and vote. So there you have it, 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you gotta do is hit me up on the text line, and we'll respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Recapping the news real quick. Kind of interesting thing going on. J.D. Vance, our vice president, is on a book tour right now, so he's talking a lot about this stuff. I don't know if it's really revealing much that we didn't already know. But he's got a memoir and kind of talking about it. Hey, any of y'all see the Hillbilly Elegy movie or even read the book? I obviously did both during the 24 cycle. As he setting himself up for a 2028 presidential run. Just went on The View, I think. I don't know how that went. I can't imagine it went without some kind of contentious back and forth. But we're you know, after today, after this cycle's over, guess what? It's presidential election time. My guess, maybe you see a Marco Rubio, maybe you see a J.D. Vance. Also something you got to watch here, and we're way putting the cart way ahead of the horse here, already talking about 28. These guys are starting to kind of set up. They're watching what's going on in these midterms, in these midterm primaries. But now you're getting commitments. You're looking and seeing, well, what's the mood of the Republican electorate? What's the mood of the Democrat electorate? And the Democrat electorate's red hot right now. They don't like that Supreme Court decision on the Louisiana case, they are going to vote. Now, the Jeff Poor theorem here that the we have not had a Democrat Party civil war. We're due. Does the built-in animosity toward this president, does it stretch into 2028? Does that become an organizing principle for Democrats? Do you see Republicans start to distance themselves from Trump the way that Republicans did with Bush during the 08 cycle? I was at the Republican convention in Minneapolis in 08. It was like Sarah Palin's big debut. And she did really well. George Bush was not there. Very unique set of circumstances where you don't have the incumbent president of a party not speak in person at the convention. I think he did it via video. There was some kind of a hurricane threat in Louisiana, if I recall. But we're kind of in this, we're in the dead heat of a midterm election cycle. And I'm going to be honest, it doesn't look good for Republicans. That's, sorry that offends you, but, that's just a natural course of history. They call it the 7-year itch. In this case, you had a Biden administration that was not that spectacular. It really hurt Democrats. Arguably, the Trump presidency is going a little better than Biden's, but that's not really how this works. So while we're keenly focused on this, and this is kind of setting up for the future, I mean, what does start talking about 2028? We'll have a Senate race on the ballot, but, I mean, Katie Britt will be hard to beat. And then perhaps, potentially, assuming the Alabama legislature sees fit, a 7-0 map in Alabama. So a lot, like kind of setting the stage there. And then they'll look at this election tonight. They'll look at the kind of voters, the kind of candidates who get elected. And win these runoff elections. And a lot of the strategy for the next election is starting to come together. Also got Iran deal. People feel generally good about that. Markets, we got $75 a barrel crude. Down $5 today. That oil price is dropping. Brent. Around the 78, you're going to see those gas prices come down. You're going to see a glut of oil, I think, because all these shipping containers that have been sitting trying to get through the Strait of Hormuz are, in theory, going to start moving through, and that oil's got to go somewhere. The refining capacity will have something to say about that, but it'll be cheap to manufacture gasoline. And I think you're going to see gas prices. It's going to be a strange anomaly that you see gas prices go down in the summer months. And then as we head into Labor Day. Well, we got a long summer ahead of us. And midterm elections. Maybe that takes some of the burden, some of the onus off of Republicans running for re-election, trying to hold on to Congress. But, you got to look at Democrats. Democrats, they got a tough road to hoe. They got to figure out what the party is. It's got to be something more than anti-Trump. I think you're seeing a lot of the more progressive wing kind of show its muscle here. And we get more Zohran Mandami-type candidates. That's where the energy is. It's an overheated Democrat electorate. Problem for Democrats today in Alabama, at least, they can't vote in this runoff because they vote, you know, they had really good turnout. Once you vote in that Democrat primary, you are not eligible to run in the runoff. That's a state law. But we're seeing low turnout. Let's see here. Pritchard police officer is facing federal charges after prosecutors alleged he used his position to assist drug traffickers and violent offenders conceal evidence tied to a murder-for-hire investigation, orchestrated a lawful traffic stop, and accept bribes in exchange for keeping individuals out of jail. Emmanuel Damon Dotch II was indicted on multiple federal counts stemming from what investigators describe as a pattern of corruption and abuse of authority. So, dirty cop getting indicted here by the federal system for a number of counts. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back to wrap it all up. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. To the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Tuesday morning. Tomorrow on the program, Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery and Will Hampson from PT Public Affairs. I'm pushing back a day here. Unnamed texture to Iron War has decimated the independent support for Trump people who are in their 40s and 30s. Who are independents or lean Republican are probably going to sit this out. The Democrats may have a civil war over racial issues, the bungling of Iran war, to have been launched due to foreign influence, and then all of this happened under the guise of America First, only to have the status quo, have it to end status quo ante. Jason, you think Jim Ziegler or Beaker squeaks it out? I feel like Ziegler, just name ID, but we'll see. And then Mike writes, I'm hopeful Hudson wins because I think he's best for Alabama, but you said it. It's not like Barry will beat Doug Jones or even a Shelby. And I know April has criticized Hudson on the image as a Ken and Barbie, but would fit the mold of a potential higher office after a senator. He's got the Reagan-Obama type of factor. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
Hey, Jeff. Of course, we'll continue to kind of hear from people as they show up at the polls and see what it looks like. I was in and out in 3 minutes today. A total of 30 votes at Collier Elementary on Snow Road, so it was light.
Yeah.
You mentioned the weather thing. So I started digging into this. Maybe your first hour or something, you were talking about it. So studies show, Jeff, studies have found every inch of rainfall on election day can reduce turnout by roughly 1% or more. So
that doesn't seem like a 1%, you know, what do you think? We got about an inch or two? I
don't know, but it's interesting because you asked that question earlier. So I said, I'm going to dig into this before I get started. I'm going to do this when we come back on at noon. But yeah, the ratio they're kicking out here, every inch of rain, because I can sit and you demagogue this all day long. I mean, it's ridiculous. You want to go do other things, go vote in the rain. Put your damn raincoat on and go in there and vote. Give me a break. You live in Mobile. But they're saying every inch of rainfall is a decrease of 1% of the vote. Now, how they do that, I don't know, because I guess they'd have to have – that's assuming another primary runoff would have the same interest, and then you had a dry day and then you had a wet day. I don't know how they did the science on this, but it's there it is.
Well, and you know, when you're talking about future elections, I mean, these are, if you go out and vote in the rain today, I hope this doesn't deter anybody, but you're going to be really hyper-targeted in future elections because you are what the consultants will see as a high-propensity voter.
Yes, and I think I fit that description. We will talk about the the text messages that continue to come through, you know, maybe even a higher rate than they did going into the primary. I mean, fewer candidates, but more text messages. I'll talk about that with April Marie coming up at about 12:35. John Sharp with AL.com joins me at 1 o'clock. And Secret Biolabs, you know, we mentioned it yesterday, but we're going to dig into this outgoing DNI director, Tulsi Gabbard, about 3.5 minutes where she describes what was going on. I mean, it's not that no one's talking about it, but you think this would be third down on the stack, probably, but it hasn't been. So,
well, I'll tell you something else we're going to look at, and I mentioned polling. We got to do this for every dollar spent. How many votes is that?
Absolutely. I got a case to make with advertising here at FM Talk 106.5 versus throwing it on a national, you know, TV show.
Yeah, well, and yeah. Man, because it's... That area has really changed a lot, and that's a discussion for another time, because I got to get out of here. It has been a pleasure. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jet Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.